I want to read from the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. You know, man's eyes of understanding and eyes of desire, they see so many things until they don't have any room to see and desire God. If they had just a little room left, and their eye of desire, their eye of understanding, then they could have Jesus. But they have no room. They see and they desire. They lust and they cannot have nor obtain unto. They ask and receive not, because their desire is for the lust of the flesh. The 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, who hath believed our report? That is a good thought right there. There's a good theme right there. Who hath believed our report? If I ask the question here at Little Bethlehem tonight, and I started with each individual, started with my own family, started with my own wife, my own children, my own relatives, went on to my friends, and then to my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I ask the question, who has believed our report? I wonder how many tonight here in the church that I would actually find that hath really believed our report. Who hath believed our report? It says in the 13th verse, just before the reading of the 53rd chapter, that his visage was marred more than any man. And then it goes on to tell us how that all of these things was to happen to Jesus, and how the prophet gave the forewarning, but he said, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession or the transgressors. You know, you don't have to wonder what the Lord is speaking of. When you read that, the prophet Isaiah speaking, You don't have to wonder what he's talking about, because most every one of us realizes that it was Jesus that experienced the horrible things that is spoken of here in the Scripture. Though he himself had done nothing, not one thing had he done. The Bible said that he was bruised for my transgression, your transgression, and the chastisement of my peace was laid upon his back, upon him. Because he was chastised, then today I have peace. If Jesus had not been chastised, today I would have God for mine enemy, and mine iniquities would be over my head. I would be drowning in my own iniquity, and I would have no peace with God, but God would be my enemy. But inasmuch as Jesus was willing to become my propitiation for sin, then today I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore my servant shall justify many. My righteous servant, by his knowledge, shall justify many. Today, that's what we have, is the knowledge of God. The Word of God, that which can bring faith and that which can bring justification to my soul and to your soul. There is no way to have justification unless you can hear the Word of God, which is our report. And then when you hear our report, if you're to have the benefits of the report, then you must believe the knowledge that shall justify many. It is by the knowledge of God, or by the Word of God, that faith cometh. By the hearing of the Word, you are able to have faith in God. Long as the minister can bring you the Word of God or the knowledge of God, then you can have faith in God. Now, it's like I said over in the early evening, we talk sometimes 2 or 3 hours. I talk maybe several hours sometimes to the brethren. Maybe I talk that long without even letting up. And then I make mention to them. I say, now when we go into service, we have maybe 45 minutes, perhaps at the most, that the people will sit still and listen with to the Word of God by the time we get to it. You know, if we sing a song or two and we collect their thoughts and we get their minds in the stream, you know, and get them to where they'll listen, we have perhaps 45 minutes to try to drive and press upon them the necessity of listening to the Word of God and having Christ in their heart. And but by the time that we do that, maybe out of the 45 minutes, we may have 3 minutes that we're able to really enlighten them as far as the spiritual depths of the things of God. So then you see, it makes it almost utterly impossible to be able to bring the church into the things that God intends for the church to have. Whereas a lot of times when we go away by ourselves and we sit and talk, then we can take our time and we can expound the gospel and we can explain the different avenues of thoughts and approach the different avenues of thoughts and the things that are needful. But see, the average individual will not pay attention. The average individual will not give themselves to that kind of thing. See, they're busy. They've got to make money. They've got to have a new car. They've got to pay their debts. They've got to keep everything going out in the social realms. And then in their spare time, they want to come to church and get the benefits of God. It'll never be. You'll never have it. It'll never be that way. It'll never be that way. Now, we've got to come to the place like they did in the early church when they sold their homes. They sold all that they had. They laid it down at the apostles' feet. They had one mind, one accord, one drive, one desire, one ambition, and that was to get the knowledge of Christ Jesus in their heart. That was the only drive they had. They had no time for anything else. They just wanted to get God in their heart. Now, so then until we come to that place, all the church comes to that place, they will never be prepared for the rapture. Never. So then we have our businesses, we have our abundance of doings, and we have everything that we must do and what we must carry on and what we want to do, and all of our plans and everything is, you know, we've got everything in our mind, catalog is programmed to what we must do, what we're going to do, and how we're going to do it. Friend, let me tell you, we've got to put God first of all. We've got to make Him the preeminence of our heart, the preeminence of our mind, make the gospel the preeminence in our life, and we've got to get down to business with God and make the church the most desired thing of our entire life. That's why the people in general of Monroe or the neighboring towns don't understand the people of Bethlehem. Because to them, church is something that you go to in your spare time. Church is more like a social benefit to them. Church is something that they have so many days a week, and what days that they're able to go, then they go. What time they have that they can pull away from their necessitated demands of life, then they go to church. And to them, that's all there is to it. And God is merciful. God did it all. God paid it all. God planned it all. And all they've got to do is just go to church occasionally, that the preacher remind them that God did it all, and be ready, you know, in that way that they are a church member and they will make it into heaven. That's wrong. They will not make it into heaven, and neither will it help them by them going to church and the preacher reminding them of what God done. They go to church and God reminds them, that is through the preacher, of what He has done for them. But that's the worst thing that could happen to them. They would be much better off if they would stay out in the world and not have the preacher to remind them. Because the more the preacher reminds them, the more God requires it of them. The more they know about God, the more God requires it of them. And the more that the plagues come upon the world, the more that wars, more that tornadoes, more than all of these evil things come upon the world, because they know more and everything gets into a worse mess. The more they learn about God, the less they do, the more the plagues come upon them. That's what happened to the Jewish people. You understand what I'm saying? What? They don't understand people of little Bethlehem. Because, see, out here, it's a way of life to us. It's not going to church. We didn't build a church so that we would have a church to go to. We didn't get together to build a campground so that we'd have a church that we could go to maybe once or twice a week. But this is a way of life to us. You know, the Jews had a way of life. Their religion was a way of life. That's the way it was supposed to be. This is a way of life to us. Amen. All religions is a way of life. See, it is a way of life to us. Whatever this religion is, then it should be a way of life to us. If I was a Baptist person, then my Baptist religion would be a way of life to me. If I was a Baptist and a Baptist said you could smoke and curse and drink and whatever, I'd smoke and curse and drink. Whereas they don't do that. There's a lot of good people in the Baptist church, a lot of good preachers. I was converted in a little missionary Baptist church. Now, but if that was what it was, that would be a way of life to me, because that's the way it should be. And when I come into the Word of God, I came into real Bible holiness, and I learned that God is the Spirit of holiness, and that this is God's mind, and this is God's Word, and this is God's will, and this is God's world, and this is God's plan, that it became a way of life to me. This is a way of life to me. I don't think we ought to think of the church just as a place to go together, to get together, to have a fellowship or a camp meeting once a year. But brothers and sisters, it should be like the early church. This should be a matter of life and death. This should be the discipline of our life. It should be everything concerning all of our desires and wants. Our children should be in this thing. Our wives, husbands, all of us should be swallowed up with this thing called religion, which is God's way of life. Every day, every hour, every moment, every minute, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to Christ Jesus every thought to obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every thought, not one thought should escape the knowledge of Christ and the desires of Christ Jesus. Now, so then they don't understand us. They will never understand us. How can they understand us? They want to mix fishing with their religion. They want to mix going to ball games with their religion. They want to mix making money with their religion and getting houses and lands and planning for the future and education and all of these other things. Now, you say, well, Brother Pike, don't you think we ought to have all these other things? I believe that we ought to have just exactly what we have to get by in life. And turn to God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and love God and serve God and trust God with all the rest. That's the way I feel. First of all, as I've said so many times, when it comes to education, you've got education in God. If the thing is handled right, it is programmed right, you've got the best of education. The Bible tells us that everyone that's born of God is of a good understanding. The Holy Spirit makes him of a quick understanding. The Bible said that he shall be of a quick understanding because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. So then you've got an advantage to begin with. God gives us all of the blessings of life. All of the world belongs to us, the moon, the stars, the trees, the ocean, the brook, all of the animals, everything belongs to us. We are God's people. See, why should I run after that which should run after me? Why should I follow after the world when the world should follow after me? Why should I care for the world when the world is supposed to care for me? You understand what I'm saying? Why then should I give myself to the world when God has given the world to me? I give myself to God, and God in return has given me the world and all that's in the world, not only for just a few short days, but throughout eternity. So then it should be a way of life to us. This thing should be a way of life to us. If you're not head over heels in it, then you are missing out with God. If you've got any other plans in life outside of salvation and religion, you are missing out with God. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I can't have a business aside from the church, aside from salvation, aside from religion? I mean to tell you just exactly that. If you've got a business aside from the church, aside from religion, aside from the Word of God, something's wrong with you. The only business you should have should be a ministry for God and for the needy and for the cause of Christ. We're bought with a price. Everything that we do, everything that we own, everything that we are, everything we've ever been, everything we'll ever be, should be because of Christ and for Christ and done in Christ. That's the way it should be. So then I have no desire outside of Christ. I have no ambition outside of Christ. I have no plans outside of Christ. All that I am is in Christ Jesus, and that's the way it should be with you. All of your business plans, all of your work, and everything, it should be in coordination with God. It should be for God's purpose. See, that's the way it should be. All of your conversation. You should never have a conversation outside of Christ Jesus. A lot of you people that go from trailer to trailer and from relative to relative always got something to talk about, something new to tell, something to do, and we say, chew on the rag. You know, you ought not to be like that. All of your conversation with your relatives, with your friends, with your neighbors, whoever they might be, it ought to be something about God. And the Bible said, let your conversation be holy. Let your thoughts be in heaven. Let your conversation be in heaven. Let your desire be in heaven. The Bible said, place your affection on things above. Don't place your affection on things in this world. Place your affection on things above. God may give you many things in this world, and I trust that He will, and I know that He will. If you follow God, God will give you automobiles. God will give you land. God will give you houses. God will give you all the education that you need as far as good understanding and raise you up above others. He said, because thou hast loved righteousness, God, even thy God, hath elevated thee, raised thee up, anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, put thee up above thy fellows. And he said, concerning David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote, give you a name like unto the great men of the earth. I've done it, God said. I raised up one, I put down another. So then the judge isn't in office because they voted him in. Somebody would say, well, he's in office because the people of Monroe voted him in. That's not true. He is in office because God prepared the hearts of the people to put that judge in. You check out history, look back through the Bible and check out history, and you'll find out, as I've said so many times, that everywhere where people sought God, the entire nation, God raised up a good leader. And they had peace. He raised up a good king. And then when they did wickedly, God raised up a wicked king over them to punish them. So then God creates the good. God creates the evil. God has His way in good and evil. God has His way in both. Works all things after the counsel of His own will. Can evil come to a city, and I have not sinned it, saith the Lord? So then when a president goes in, when a king is raised up, when a queen comes to the throne, who put them there? God put them there. In the days of Bloody Mary, who put her there? God did it. If you don't believe it, you get into the spirit of Revelation and go back and check Revelation and look back through the pages of time and fit it all together and see when you come to that certain place where Bloody Mary reigned, if anybody else will fit in that place but her. See, God did it. Working all things after the counsel of His own will. Why is little Bethlehem in Monroe? Because it is the city of seven governors. Why didn't God put it somewhere else? I was somewhere else when God spoke to me to come to this place. Why did God do that? I've never been here before to do any work for God in this area. This area is altogether foreign to me. Why did God bring me here? Because this is the place that God chose. Oh, I know some of you don't believe that. That's what I asked tonight. Who hath believed our report? You don't believe it. I know you don't believe it. But nevertheless, it's a true report anyway. All right. So then we see the great hand of God. We see God doing something in our life. We see that we should not be separated from God. That everybody that names the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. Every person should come together and be a unit and be a brotherhood. And everything they do, everything they say, all of their plans, every motive should be for one cause. And that is to project the kingdom of God, to project the word of God, and to establish the kingdom of God in this earth. That should be our determination every day of our life. And if we have any other plans, then we're being contrary to God. If we seek the kingdom, God will give us everything that we want. The Lord will make us rich. He will bless us. He will lift us up. In the early church, they sold all that they had. They laid it down at the apostles' feet. They took and distributed among the poor, and they helped the needy. And their ultimate desire was to do one thing, and that was to get the gospel out. And the Bible said they broke bread from house to house with singleness of heart, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They prayed, and they fasted, and they sought God, and their mind was upon reaching the lost for Christ Jesus. Their mind wasn't upon gluttony. Their mind wasn't upon having picnics and seeing how much that they could get to eat, or which one could get the best automobile of the things of this world. Their mind was on doing something for God. That's where our mind should be tonight. So then we see what is lacking in the church. We see what has happened. I read here where the Bible said that He bore our iniquities. He took our chastisement. He made us perfect in the sight of God. Tonight we stand perfect in the sight of God. A true child of God is perfect in the sight of God. There is not one spot. There is not one blemish, there is not one mark against Him. And in the day of the judgment, He will not have to answer for one tiny mistake in His life. When He stands before God, there will be not one mistake in His life. Not one thing will be marked up against Him. Not one tiny little thing will be marked up against Him in the day of judgment. He will be completely clear of everything. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. It is Christ that died for you. See, who can lay anything to your charge? The Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. That is, He was bruised for my transgression. The chastisement of my peace, it was upon Him. Why should I worry about being sinful? Why should I worry about doing wrong? Why should I worry about the things that I'm going to have to pay for? There is nothing that I have to pay for. I am a Christian. Christ paid for all of it. Christ not only paid for my past sins and my past transgression, but the Bible said that this salvation is unto many offenses. Not only is it to cover my past transgressions, my past mistakes, but it is unto many offenses which will come in the future. It covers all of them. There is not one that is left uncovered. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby we are sealed unto the day of the redemption of the body. We are not of this world. God hath chosen us out of this world, and we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of all things. That is, we are hid with the Word in the Spirit. Heaven is the Spirit. Christ is the Word. We are hid with the spiritual Word in the Spirit. We are hid with the mind of Christ in the Spirit of God until the day that God restores everything and until God brings the millennium in. That is the full restoration of all of those things that have been destroyed in the past. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So then this is a wonderful salvation. You see, this is why that I'm a happy Christian. This is why that I rejoice in God. This is why you hear me say so many times that, brethren, I say, I am happy in God. I am satisfied in God. I am rich in Christ, filled up with the glories of God. I say that because it is true. I say that because I believe that. See, and I tell you that I am rejoicing in Christ. I'm not lying to you. Who hath believed our report? See, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? My heart, it rejoices in God. I am happy. How can you then be happy? When you believe the report, when you fully accept the fact that there is no transgressions in your life, when you fully accept the fact that there is no sin in your life, when you accept the fact that there's not one spot, not one blemish, not one transgression against you, when you accept the fact that when you stand before God, not one tiny mark, no bigger than the point of a pen is against you. When you realize that no one can lay anything to the charge of you because you are God's elect according to foreknowledge, that you've been predestinated by God in Christ unto perfection, sanctified by the finished works of Christ, why shouldn't you be happy? Why shouldn't you be joyful? Then when you feel like that, then you're not worried about whether or not you're going to make it into heaven, whether or not you're going to be counted worthy, whether or not you're going to be God's son or God's child. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God. I'm a son of God right now. I'm once and for all a son of God. I'm not trying to get to be a son of God. I'm not a son of God today and a son of the devil tomorrow. I'm forever a son of God. I am a son of God. When you was out there on the hillside and wasn't but one of you, and Israel was torn to pieces by the armies of the alien powers, and all of her powers of militant couldn't do anything about it. David, I took you as one lone, single individual, and I whipped the whole army with it. Where have you placed your faith, David? What have you done? Oh, God, help me to never get like that. Folks, help me to never take my faith out of God. Though God give me $1 million, though God give me $10 million, help me to pray and believe God and never trust in any individual or in any people to support the cause of God. If God can't support His cause, we need to close the doors.
if we've got to resort to the things of this world and compromise with every professional man in this world and stoop down to the things of this world to get them into the church. Brothers and sisters, to support our cause, we need to lock the door. We need to lock the door. You know, when they started counting their strength, then they started leaning upon the dollar, then they started to compromising, they started to having respect to person. And now look at them today. You know what happened? It wasn't long before David lost his throne. Isn't that right? Peter made his boast, but it wasn't long before the same Peter was back off out in the wilderness somewhere crying, weeping. And the Bible said Peter wept bitterly because he denied him. They said, you was with this man, and all of Peter's courage left. See, he never realized that Christ was his courage. When he was standing there defying the world, he never realized that was the strength of Jesus. And when Jesus left him, turned around, he said, no, I don't know the man. And that rooster began to crow. And the Bible said Peter wept bitterly for the words that Jesus spoke to him, come back to him. But oh, listen to this. Listen to this. Those words were overwhelming. You know, words can be harsh. Words can be hard. And those words were crushing. And Peter was going down. Down, he'd lost out. Because the words said, I told you, Peter. I told you. But Peter, at his lowest ebb, as he began to cry, then the words the Master spoke, there was some more words he remembered. And the word said, Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Oh, I prayed for thee, Peter, at your lowest ebb when you're having problems. Take courage. I prayed for you, Peter. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you know when Peter's head was bowed in shame and despair, he dropped his head down there and fell down on the ground. Don't you know when those words came into his heart, he lifted his head up and the tears streaming down, and by faith he could see that crucified Jesus, that one that he had denied, standing there with the tenderness of God with the nail-riven hands, saying, Peter, you've cursed. You failed, Peter. You failed. Your works has failed you. No more righteous, Peter. You failed, Peter. But now be strong in the power of my might, my works. Peter, your works has failed. The only thing you can offer me, son, is faith. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now don't let your faith fail. Though your works has failed, Peter, have faith in what I've done for you. And my spirit will lift you up, hallelujah, and bring you out of it. Glory to God, what a victory. Oh, hallelujah. That's why Peter was mighty like he was. Can't you imagine a man that raised up from that, realizing he had cursed and that he had denied God and done all of those things. And then he still saw the blood streams of Calvary and the grace of God. What could you do to tear him loose? Old Paul, who had persecuted and wasted the church of God and killed him, he said, I blasphemed. He said, I wasted and persecuted the church of God. He said, I was the chief of sinners, but the nail-riven hand said, Paul, don't let your faith fail. And old David, driven off of the throne, had committed harlotry, committed murder in the first degree, and was back out in the wilderness, driven away from God, there with his head in his hand, bawling like a baby. Nobody to say, Mighty David, Mighty David. Nobody to praise him. And the voice from heaven crying out said, David, I prayed for thee. Don't let your faith fail, David. And he felt that spirit. Hallelujah. Now somebody would say, now Brother Pike, don't get beside yourself. You don't believe that David felt that spirit. I sure do. Somebody said, you don't believe the Holy Ghost was with them people. The Bible said, thus the Holy Ghost spake, moving upon the prophets. Now I know they didn't have the gift of the Holy Ghost back there, but I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost was with them. That same Christ that appeared to Abraham there under the oak of Mamre that stood there with faithful Abraham. said, my friend Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His faith in God. Isn't that right? Oh, let me tell you something, friend. When the church world of today, why did God let them do that? You know why God let them get in that kind of condition? Because they took the same outlook the Jews did, more holy than thou. The Pentecostal people, the cream of the earth, stood up and said, the Baptists are a bunch of dogs. Come on now. Some of the Jesus name people that God had been good to stood up and come against others instead of sharing what God had blessed them with. Treated the rest like a dog. The Jews said they're dogs. Come on now. Isn't that right? God said, more holy than thou, when I get through with you, you won't be able to tell you apart. Come on. Praise God, when you get down there and waller in the mire with the rest of them, you'll all look alike. Isn't that right? Have God cast away his people? God forbid, he hasn't done it. They're the apple of his eye. Will he bring them out? He will do it. One of these days they'll do like the prodigal and they'll rise up from that hog pen and they'll shake the dust off. They'll say, my God, what am I going to do with these tattered rags? And they'll start back for the Father's house. But I'll tell you one thing. Glory to God, when they meet the Father, it won't be thou more holy than thou. It won't be that. They'll fall down at his feet and they'll say, Father, my works is failed. Oh Lord, I'm no more worthy to be called a son and frown on others. But oh Lord, if you'll have mercy on me, just give me a job like a hired servant, I'll be happy. And that's the hour when the Father will say, bring out the best ring. Oh, hallelujah. I remember when that angel appeared to me in Florida and I was so weary. And he came up and slipped that ring on my finger. Hallelujah. He'll come up and he'll slip that ring on the finger and he'll say, go and get a robe for this boy. Oh, he looks tired. He looks tired. Put a robe on him. And he'll slip a robe on him and slip that finger on and said, get some nice shoes for his feet. Oh, hallelujah. And he'll put his arms around him. Hallelujah. And he'll lead him safely back to the Father's house. There's coming a time when God is going to pick up those that are the apple of his eye. There's coming a time when he's going to pick up the Jews. He's going to show them the nail prints of his hands and they'll say, where did you get the prints? He said, in the house of my friends. This is what you've done to me. Oh, you Pentecostal people, you holiness people. You've literally crucified Christ afresh and put him to an open shame. Oh, you've mixed with the world. You've turned away from righteousness. And you've done like Samson. You've got with Delilah. And you've lost your beautiful locks. And you're grinding at the mills of the swell. But oh, my friend, there's a day of deliverance at hand. And Christ is on the move. God is fixing to rapture his people. And he said, look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh when you see all these things. Look up. Oh, beloved friend, I see things in the Spirit. If we could see the things of God in the Spirit tonight, if we could be spiritual, if we could see them tonight, my, what it would do to us. What it would do to us tonight. Old Samson, when he got the pillars, blind, mixed with the world, the church out there, numbering their strength like David did, standing there in their own strength saying, look at us, we're bigger than anybody else. We got $10 million income. We got this. When we have a rally, we just run the buildings over. God saying, away with it. And they said, the Jews said, Lord, wherefore have we fasted and you don't take any knowledge? He said, I'm sick of your solemn assemblies. Hallelujah. He said to the woman at the well. How'd you get a picture of this as I close? The woman at the well. Here he's talking to the woman at the well. And here comes some of his fellows over there and some of the disciples. And I imagine one looks at the other and said, hey, do you see what I see? Come on now. Amen, that's right. See, when David went over there, they said, here comes that little old silly brother of ours. Yeah, he's trying to be cute. Try to do something for God and watch the world mock you. Isn't that right? Old David just went on because God sent him on a mission. Isn't that right? Are you listening to what I'm saying? See, God had sent him. He didn't care how much he was mocked. Is that right? It didn't matter. It didn't matter when Samson started coming out of the dungeon. They mocked him. He stood by the pillars. And they mocked him. Isn't that right? But see, something had happened to him. What was it? He was blind and he couldn't see. But he felt back there like that. And he began to feel it there. Oh, hallelujah. His faith began to go up. Why was it? You say, Brother Pike, it was because of his hair. It wasn't because of his hair. It was because of God's Word. God's Word said, don't let a razor come on his head. Come on now. The angel of God said, he shall be a Nazarite from the birth. And said, don't you let his hair be cut. See, it wasn't the hair. When that hair was cut off, it was the vow that was broken. It was God's promise that was broken. God's Word that was broken. But when that hair was grown back, old Samson probably stood there brokenhearted, blind, tore up as his enemy mocked him, and he cried out to God and he said, God, hear me one more time. And he felt back there and he felt that hair. You know what? It would do good if some of the ladies would let their hair grow out. Amen. Yes, sir. The Bible said, and the government shall be upon the shoulders, and the church shows God's government, because the church is God's body. It's the shoulders. You know, the devil will do anything in the world to get a woman to get that hair off her shoulders. If she has to cut it off, plait it off, bob it up, pin it up, do anything, put it in pigtails, but get it off of the shoulders. Because he can't stand that. Old Samson, when he felt of that, what he remembered, no doubt, with his mother's words. Oh, he probably felt of the hair and he thought, oh Lord, I remember what Mama said. I remember what my dad said. That the angel spoke when he come to tell him about my birth. I remember that, Lord. Father, I know I betrayed you. But Lord, it's long again. It's back like it was. And his faith began to go up. And when his faith began to go up, he began to feel that connection. You know, when the church gets back to where God wants it, they'll begin to feel that same power that made David run through a troop and leap over a wall. That Samson began to feel that strength. That come upon him, it caused him to rend that lion like a kid. He began to feel that thing, and its faith began to surmount, began to go up, and Samson began to feel strong again. And though he was blind, he grabbed those pillars. He felt that strength. Hallelujah. He grabbed that pillar here and that pillar, and he said, God, I've sinned against you, but Lord, give me one more victory. He said, let me die with my enemies. And the greatest victory he ever had showed Calvary. When Samson pulled those pillars down, it showed Jesus Christ, as Jesus was made sin in the eyes of God. And as Jesus stood there and he took the law in one hand and he took the other in the other hand over here. The law in one hand, the prophets in another hand. And he stood there and he pulled the two pillars that hold the world up. He pulled them down, and a voice cried out from heaven when they said, let's make three tabernacles. He pulled them down and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. He went down with them. As he pulled them down, a thief on either side, he went down with them. He went down. But brothers and sisters, he come back up. Hallelujah. He come back up. Is that right? He come back up. There's one thing about it. The church world has gone down, but it's going to come back up. It's coming back up. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, can there actually be such a day? Will it ever survive? It'll come back up. The Bible said, and Satan shall wear out the saints of God, but the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever and ever. Oh, hallelujah. And I feel the move is on. We sang that song, the move is on, my brother. The move is on. God said, David, when you hear that whirling in that mulberry tree, said, you know the move's on. Old David said, you fellas still over here, I'm listening for a certain sound, a more sure word of prophecy. And after a while, that whirl started in the mulberry trees. And David said, fellas, get the sword, the move's on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I run through a troop and I leaped over a wall. That's what we need. That's what we need. The Spirit of God. It's not by power or might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The church is going to come out. God's going to bring it out. I want you to stand with me. All we got to do is place our faith in Him. All the church has done is misplace their faith. That's all it did. They just got it in the arm of flesh. Cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh and goeth down to Egypt for his help. See, they just got it in the arm of flesh. They started looking back into Egypt. They started counting on the payroll. But oh, beloved friend, one day they're going to turn around and they're going to put their eyes on Jesus. The songwriter said, keep your eyes on Jesus and He will calm the troubled waters of your soul. One of these days they're going to look in His direction. And like Peter sinking in the water when he held out his pitiful dying hand. And he said, Master. Oh, for a minute, a master as he walked on the water, conquering, walking on the water. The next minute his faith had failed him and he was singing. He said, Master, Master, have mercy on me. And the tender hand of Jesus reached out and got him. It'll reach down one day. But folks, we got to get out of the starch. We got to quit being stiff-necked. Come on now, Stephen said, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. You do always err, even as your fathers do. So do you. You tell them that and they'll want to stone you to death. That's right. They'll say, we're the first church. That's right. But you know what? When they get humble and when they quit trying to be doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs, that's right. And they quit wanting to be the movie stars and the great sports stars and they want to be like Jesus. Come on now. And they quit wanting to be millionaires and getting polished scholar educations and all these kind of things now and have the prettiest home and all these other things. When they get their minds on Jesus, He'll give them all of the other. For He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all this other will be added. I would above all things that ye prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. The blessing of the Lord maketh the rich and addeth no sorrow.
Amen.
I'll give you all of these things. Delight yourself in me. But seek me first. I won't be second, he said. I won't be second. So when they get their eyes back on Jesus, and He becomes the bright and the morning star to them, He'll reach down His tender hand. He said, my arm is not short that it cannot reach thee. He said, it's not short that I cannot save you. But thine iniquities, the middle wall of petition, has separated between thee and thy God. That old carnal mind of reasoning, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the mind of God. Be in the mind of the Lord. Trust in Him with all of your heart. That's all we got to do. And He'll reach down His tender hand. The song said, when He reached down His hand for me. Oh, when He reached way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. But He reached down His hand for me. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. The church is coming out. Going to rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. The kingdom of God is at hand, folks. It's at hand. Repent ye and receive the kingdom of God. Let's take it. It's suffered violence. And that violence has taken it by force. And the world has tried to take it. But let's take it back. Let's take it back. It's a wonderful hour, a great time, but a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. If we make allowance for just one little thing, it may be our desire, it may be for a relative, it may be for a friend, it may be for some business associate, it may be to get a little gain or make a little extra. But beloved friend, that's all it takes to make you miss the rapture. That faith has got to get right. It's got to get right. It's like an apple on a tree. It has to ripen. You've got faith. The apple is on the tree, but it has to ripen. It must ripen. And now the season is here for the ripening. You've got to ripen in the sight of God and be meet for the Master's use. Some of you are still green. I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, Paul said. But seeing that you're babes in Christ, I can't. And what does a babe in Christ mean? He summed it up by saying there's envy among you. Somebody says, I just can't get over one of them having a better car than me. I've just got to work till I get as good a car as they've got. I'm going to prove to them I can have it. I'm going to see that my children get the education the others got and have a good job. Strive. Just got to gossip a little bit. I just can't help but tell my daughter or daughter-in-law or son-in-law something I heard over yonder. We just got to talk about it a little bit. Just got to take a little peek at something I ought not to on television and listen to a little something on radio I ought not to. Just tell a little joke, listen to a little of it. Just a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. Got to do a little tale bearing, hear something I just can't help but get it to somebody and let them know what so-and-so said. I just got to do that. Can't pay my bills. I just can't make no effort to do it. That dollar just looks so good to me when I make it, and I just owe so many bills. Why worry about it anyway? What good is my little old $200 going to do? That's all it takes for you to miss the rapture. That's all it takes. God don't make mistakes, folks. He don't make mistakes. But listen at me. God don't make mistakes. If you want to make it into glory, you better get those things out of your heart. Get the envy out. Get the strife out. Get the malice out. Get the temper out. Get the lying out. Get the lying out of you. Get the temper out of you. Quit telling those things. Quit saying those things. Quit doing those things. Now you say, Brother Pike, do you believe that the people's going to do it? Who have believed our report? Some of them is going to do it. I don't expect all of you to do it. As far as I know, all godly reasoning tells me, as far as I know, that there's people here that is not going to make the translation. Some of you people are going to go through the tribulation period. I hope that you won't. I certainly hope you won't. I hope I don't. But by all godly reasoning, the way that you're acting and the things you're doing and the way you're lagging behind and your lack of interest in spiritual things and endeavor toward Christ and slackness and the time being so close upon us proves that you're going to be doing the same thing when the thing takes place. Whatever you are, you're not making any change. You take a person that just keeps doing the same thing over and over every day, keep waiting for a certain day, a certain time, a certain thing, and after a while you're going to make a change. You don't ever make that change. You've done got into such a rut, such a going over and over till you can't do it. You've done gotten such a place till you've got your mind warped up to where even if you purpose in the morning that you're going to do different, you wind up in the same old rut, the same old frame of mind, the same old distorted feelings, the same old atmosphere about you, the same old lustful desire, your eyes always lusting after the opposite sex continually. You just can't see a man go by, you women, some of you without, it just does something to you, it just does something to you. You won't never admit it, but it does. And some of you men are the same way. Women go by, you'll never admit it, but it does something to you. You're just not clean with God. You're not straight with God. You're not sanctified in God. You're not living holy. You just got to think something wrong. You just got to have some thought wrong when the Bible said every thought brought in subjection to Christ, to the obedience of Christ. And you that are looking for a life in this world, you're very foolish. There is no life in this world. If you could live up here where I'm living, you'd know that. You'd know that with your companions and with your children and your neighbors and your friends and your relatives, even with your own brothers and sisters in Christ. If you could live up here where I live and see their minds and their hearts and know, you'd know that life is only playing a game. You know there ain't nothing out there. But I thank God that you don't know it because it'll destroy your life. You just go and enjoy it all you can. Thank God that you don't see it. But try to see enough to give your heart to the Lord and live for Jesus before it's too late. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. The Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time he should deliver thee to the judge and the judge to the jailer. And the jailer should cast thee in the prison, and then ye shall not come out till ye pay the uttermost farthing. You take a person that's been in prison,
You let them out and they're going to do better. They're going to do all kind of things till they get out. And then they go back to the hog pens and back to the same old places. And ain't long before the key lock turns in the door again. The key turns in the door and they hear the lock click. And they're back wiping the tears saying, "Oh my God, what did I do? What did I do?" What they done was they trample over every warning, everything. You know, you get out of one spiritual prison into another. Serve one sentence of suffering and heartaches and problems with your families and problems with your goods and everything. And you get out of that, maybe out of the oppression of demon spirits that's about to drive you crazy. And you know more than get out of that before you're just wild and rentless and gossiping and talking and right back into another spiritual prison. You go, you got another term to serve. You know, and another heartache, just heartache day after day for many more months. But folks, let's get out of that. Boy, it gets more severe, and more severe. All right, I'm not scolding you. I love you. Just as a brother that loves you, I warn you as dear children. Let's sing this chorus together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, and a while on other Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Can you sing it with me now? Oh, Savior, won't you my humble cry, and while others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Oh, Savior, precious Savior, won't you hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. You know, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the wonderful Holy Ghost, the wonderful Spirit of God. Are you concerned tonight? Are you? Hallelujah. Oh, Ramanda Ramashita Ramanda Rianta Ramanda Ramoshanda Ramasaya. Oh, Lamanda Lamasianta Ramoshida Rambrabasiata Ramasaya. Oh, Lamanda Lianta Lavalashita Lamanda Lianta Lamoshanda Ramanai. Ilavakanda Ramoshita Mandiandaiva Yana Wosai. Yeramanda Ramakasai. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Tonight, I felt sure that there's a young fellow here fixing to go to jail because of his foolishness and not listening. He's going to be in some serious trouble. That's one of the things I was talking about a while ago. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship God.
Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? You know there's room at the cross tonight. Jesus doesn't forbid anyone. Let's pray. Let's talk to Christ Jesus. Let's ask Him to help us. Ask Him to do something for us. You know, it's too late. It's too late. When you get in the spiritual prisons, the natural prisons, death and sorrow comes, it's too late then. While you've got life, while you've got breath in your body, listen, be a testimony for Jesus now. Don't wait. You say, well, I'm going to do something for God. Don't wait until you get old and broken down in your body. And it doesn't matter then. You can't be a testimony for Jesus then. While you're young, while you're zealous, while you're able, while you've got your health, while it means something, use your bodies and your life for the glory of God now. Be a testimony for God now. Stand up for God now. You know, everybody wants to wait. They want to wait. And they want to take a fling at the world. And then when they can't, when they get to where they're so feeble that they can't do anything else, then they say, I want to serve God. But you know, you ought to serve God now. Now's the time to serve Jesus. Some of the most beautiful days, some of the most beautiful days could be right now in your life. Serve God. Give God a chance at your life. Do something for Jesus. Don't wait until your loved ones are dead before you serve God. You know, your loved ones will, maybe your mother, your dad, or somebody will pass on, and then you'll give your heart to God perhaps. But look at the loss that you suffered. Maybe something that's so very dear that you could have redeemed, you lost it. You could have redeemed your mother or your dad, could possibly have been responsible for your precious dad and mother crossing the river and waiting for you on the other side, being right with God when they lay down to rest. You could be responsible for it. See, but if you wait, after a while, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Then you say, I'll serve God. But look at the loss. If you wait till you lose your arms, you wait till you lose your youth, you wait till you lose your life, or rather your sight, wait until you lose the life of your loved ones, look what a price to pay. Do something now. Don't throw your life away and lose your name and get to where nobody would even as much as spit on you because you just drug yourself through the mud, everything else, and then say, I'm going to serve God. When nobody else will look at you, nobody else will have you, nobody else would have anything to do with you. Don't do that, friend. Give yourself to God while you can. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days draw not nigh, when you'll turn and look and say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember God now. Remember God now. I want you to lift your hands with me. Raise your hands up to heaven. And I want us to pray together tonight. How much I would love to see every one of you make the rapture. Oh, knowing the Word of God and knowing the tribulation and knowing the sorrows. Pain is so horrible. Some of you have never experienced real pain. You've never really went through the fire. You've never really had heartaches. You don't know what it's like. But the sting of the scorpion, when men shall seek death and death shall flee from them, and men shall beg to die and beg for the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them, hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. It's going to be such a sad hour, such a sad moment. I hope that none of you will go through the tribulation. I trust that none of you will. I hope that every boy and girl, every person here, even our little ones, will grow up should Jesus tarry, and they'll all go in the rapture. May God be merciful to every one of us. May He be merciful. I trust that our young boys and girls won't spend their time in prison, mental institutions, and places of heartaches, broke up, poverty, misery. I trust it won't be like that. Lift your hands and let's pray together, can we? Precious, wonderful Father of heaven, great and mighty God, God of heaven and of earth, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, seal them with the lovely spirit of your promise tonight and the blessings of your goodness. My God, tonight heal their sick bodies. Move the disease tonight. Oram andramashaya andrabashandrabusai. Lord, heal them tonight. Help them to believe and enjoy the presence of the great, wonderful, miraculous power of the living God. To be ready, Holy Father. Not one. Don't let a one be lost, Jesus. Save them and heal them and forgive them. Watch over them and keep them from accidents. Keep their loved ones from sorrow, Jesus. Keep them from misery and from poverty. Dear beloved Father, be merciful. Be merciful to us, Jesus. Be merciful to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the Lord really wants to help you tonight. Believe in God. Use your faith. Use it for your body. Use it for your healing. Use it for your needs. If you've got financial needs, use your faith for it. Use it for peace of mind. Use it to calm your nerves with. Use it to strengthen your body. Use it to get you out of trouble. Use it to put your enemies to silence. Use your faith. Use it to overcome evil and to be able to live a real overcoming life. Use it to be a better servant to God. Behold, I give unto you power, that's your faith, the Spirit of God, power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Use your faith. God wants to do something for you. Let's sing this little chorus. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe.
possible, only believe. Oh Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe.
Do you love Jesus tonight? Let's sing one more chorus together. You know, we sing that little chorus, everything's going to be all right. How many really believe everything's going to be all right? Can we sing that little chorus? Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be alright. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him.
Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him.
Oh, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down.
Oh, let us love.